Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Best, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So, again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now, please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Best.
This silver thread, the morning sun shines through. We've trapped ourselves. The web we've spun, we are two, and it's true that it's through. So go and find yourself something to hold on to. The lesson of the flame, which children learn. You're grown, but still you walk around, fingers burned, and it's true that it's through. So go and find yourself something to hold on to. It ain't forgiven that you need. It's just the way you're living that's killing you. And I know it's true, 'cause it's killing me too. Of our own free will, and it's true that it's through. So go Should I do another one? Yeah. Different than any other guy you had before, except I need you more. You better stop, think it over, girl. You better stop, think it over again. Won't you think it over again? Little girl, I'm begging on bended knees. Please stay, you're too old to run away. If you stay right by my side, you know I love you till the very day I die. That's true. the salt that fills the sea. There'll be plenty more like me. Back where I came from. But your house just ain't a home when you're living all alone. Just you and your wisdom. Yeah, I can't go to bed without thinking about you. And I know I'll only want you more if I can't come back anymore.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you.
They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
All right, if you want to, do you want to do one more, or do you want to take a break and chat?
If Tom wants me to do another one, or we can talk, I'm fair game. I'm here at the pleasure of the people and Tom.
Let's do one more,
right.
And if Tom's still not back, well, I'm going to bring Mike in.
All right.
To chat with you. Okay.
Right. Found a penny outside your house. It was shining like a diamond ring. So I pick it up. Maybe it'll bring me some luck when I come inside and do my thing. You hear your doorbell ring. Two by two, the rest, honey, I will slay. Well, rocking scene.
Woo!
All right.
All right. Let me see if this bed works. Hold on a second. I'm running the show. Mike, do you want to come in here? Ah, look at that. I can run. Oh, there's Tom. Okay. I thought I was going to take things over, but okay.
Sorry, now you got your shot.
I was
laughing maniacally, talking about his plans for the show.
I never said any of that. That's all.
You tried. Thank you, Jason Dudio, the dude who built the studio. Greg Cartwright, you're so amazing.
Tom, you're amazing.
I feel
lucky to be here with you.
I'm merely a mirror reflecting your amazingness back at yourself. That's how it goes. Do you want to have a seat?
I do. I'm gonna set this guitar down and go over to the other mic real quick.
Please. Take your time. All right. Oh, can you do it? Look, it's like an episode of Double Dare. Obstacle course. You're getting there. Now, Greg Cartwright.
Yes.
Sometimes there's some stuff that you just gotta sort out.
And it's not gonna wait, Tom.
No, it doesn't wait.
You gotta go to it.
You have to go to it. It don't come to you. And, is it going my way? No, it's not.
Yeah.
I just, threw my phone. Across the studio. You should have seen AP Mike's face. He looked scared, like when Daddy was
right.
Daddy going came on a rager.
Yeah, comes home a little late,
a little hot.
Yeah,
yeah. Daddy's coming
in
a little hot.
Coming
tonight.
In hot.
Yeah, Daddy's coming in hot. Look out, kids. Daddy's coming in hot. Like the 5 minute, like you get the alert.
Yeah,
Daddy's running hot tonight, kids.
Yeah. Beware.
Put your army helmets on. Watch out for flying phones. Here comes Daddy.
You know what I've been thinking lately? Like people like you and mm-hmm. me, like, you know, we're creative people. That's how we, you know, try to earn our living.
Yeah.
Being creative, being mm-hmm. trying to reflect what's going on in the world. And so then especially when you have kind of life events come that just drive you crazy, like in the middle of all this stuff that's going on right now, it's just so mm-hmm. hard to know.
Right?
How do I do my job? How do I be a creative person?
You know what? It's that thing where, cause you need to do it without it turning into a thing about everything but the thing you want to do. That puts you there and lets you do the thing that you can do that maybe not everybody else can do.
Right.
It's very hard. It's hard to do it in the real world. We're not in a bubble. We're not in a vacuum. We have to do it in the face of real stuff. Like what's a hard thing when you've gone and done a show, Greg, where you've just been like walking on stage and you're just like, oh, this other thing is happening and I can't think about this right now, but you just do it, right?
Well, exactly.
You've had those nights.
Yeah, I have. And you just gotta try to get your head inside of the place where you can connect with the people mm-hmm. and you push the other stuff out for a little bit.
Yeah.
But that is not an easy task, man.
It's hard.
And sometimes you feel like you're not phoning it in.
No.
Cause you're concentrating on it. You're actively trying to push this other crap out of your way
mm-hmm.
so you can get to the thing.
Yeah.
The connection that you want.
Right.
And it is not easy.
It is not easy. But you know what is also not easy is, being super talented, but you make it look easy.
Nah.
You're so good.
Nah. Hey, you see me up on stage. I'm all squinting and everything. I make it look more difficult.
So you're raising the level of difficulty by just, you need to like, if I look like I'm
physically in pain.
Yeah. Then they'll be like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Look
how he's channeling that stuff. It's torture.
Look at the pain he's in. I can't go to those depths with this.
Entertainment's not worth it.
Yeah. No. I'll stay here in the audience. And then meanwhile,
where
you're
it's
just,
safe.
Meanwhile, you're like, I think I'm squinting enough tonight.
I think I got him.
Yeah.
I got him.
Just kind of, they're not going to try this.
Like, don't try this at home.
Don't try it at home. But you, raining sound has been an active concern for, is this like 15 years now for raining sound?
That sounds about right.
Right? Yeah,
Yeah. That sounds about right, actually. Yeah, that was, the band first got together in Memphis and then when I moved, there were some lineup changes and then, you know, probably about, I've been playing with the current lineup with Dave and all the guys from Brooklyn, from the J-Vons for probably 6 or 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and we've been having a great time. Still doing stuff. I'm working on some other projects now as well, but I can't imagine that Raining Sound is going to go anywhere anytime soon because, man, traveling with those guys is like – it's like going out on the road with the Beatles, like Hard Day's Night. Like, I mean, it's just like constant, gags and ribbing each other and like, and it's, and me and Dave are like the two old guys who just sit and watch it all. So it's
everybody doing
we're that. The guys at the movie.
Mm-hmm. You're the guys at the movie while
the J-Vons are the Beatles.
They're other Beatles. Yes. They're putting on the show for you.
Yes.
Cause the lineup of Raining Sound has kind of changed over the years and but you did last year at Goner Fest, you actually had a thing where you played with the original lineup.
We did, because they are all those guys still live in Memphis, and Greg Robertson actually injured his arm really bad at one point, and so he can't drumming is difficult for him to do now because he's severed some tendons in one of the arms. But you know what's strange is or not strange, but it's interesting. He got into curling, the sport.
Sure, where you kind of shove the disc and then somebody else sweep. Is he a sweeper or a
He's a sweeper.
Shover?
He's huge. I read a whole article online about him since he's gotten into this sport, which is post-Raining Sound. He found his calling.
So he is a late-in-life curler.
Exactly.
It does actually seem like a sport that you could maybe
later on down the road.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to devote any time to curling right now, later.
You're just like, I think it's about time I get that broom and fulfill my dreams of being a professional curler.
Honey, we're moving to Michigan.
How much money is there in curling? That would be, there can't be much money in curling, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Canada maybe. Where's it big? Where's that big?
It seems like everybody thinks it's big somewhere else. Like in Canada, they're probably like, well, no, it's big on the other side of Canada. I think they like it over there. And then you realize it's like, it's not that popular.
Cause it's anywhere.
Yeah. The Olympics. And it's like, yeah, but curling, so he's gotten into curling now.
He's gotten into curling.
Sweeping that thing and the tendons work for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that lineup was amazing to see that version of Raining Sound back again because it was so kind of stripped down because the lineup has kind of grown. And then when you add Dave Amels in with filling out that keyboard sound. Mm-hmm. Now, did you find
it's different? Yeah.
Did you write to the lineups or did the lineups, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, what happens is I write the songs, you know, I always write by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I write all the material, but then the arranging really comes down to the lineup. Yeah. That's where it really gets, the song kind of becomes catered to the players.
Sure.
And then they're going to dictate what that's going to be because they have their own dynamic of how they work together and, you know, what kind of players they are, what they move closer towards as far as a feel and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So then we definitely tweak the arrangement until it sounds like something that feels natural for the band to play.
Yeah. But at a point when it's that lineup, are you just kind of like, oh, this feels like one that would be like good for these guys.
Yeah.
Or one that isn't ready to maybe you don't have a home for yet.
Yeah.
Like conversely, if one doesn't feel like
that definitely happens as well. Sometimes I write things, something and I have nowhere to put it because it feels alien in whichever slot I try to put it into. Which was great thing about the Parting Gifts when that came along because that was an outlet for something, you know, completely different than the other two bands.
Yeah. So. And that was the group where it was Coco, Jem.
Yep.
and Pony.
And Pony.
So it's pretty much you subsumed the Etz in a, like, it's like the first super group that was just like, everyone from this one group
and one
is
guy
in this thing. Cause usually people are like, we're going to go do super group because I want to just get away from these other people.
We brought them all with us.
Their entire band formed the, it was like you joined the Etz. Basically.
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. But then we brought in lots of other people.
Yeah, like Gentleman Jesse was
in a little bit. Jesse came in when we started. We were thinking about doing another Parting Gifts record, and we had some preliminary get-togethers and practices and rehearsals and just swapping songs and everybody talking about kind of what we wanted it to be. And mm-hmm. I thought it'd be really fun to bring in an extra person. And Jesse had always been talking about maybe doing something somewhere down the road, and that he was writing songs, but they didn't sound like Gentleman Jesse songs. So we invited him to come, and it really seemed to round everything out. And we started working on some demos and stuff, but then we bailed on the idea of doing another Parting Gifts record, but some really good things came out of it because Coco's new album came out, mm-hmm. and there were some of the tracks that we had worked on for that project wound up going into her solo record, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then Jesse and I wound up with a handful of songs that I think we're now going to parlay into another project.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard anything from Jesse in a little bit, right? It's been a while since.
He's been busy. He's
restaurant.
Yeah, he and his partner have a restaurant, and he's doing that all the time. But he and his wife have come down to Asheville and had some visits, and we've been working on some songs. And I think we're going to try to – our goal is to set up a gig – this summer and rehearse the song so well that we play the gig well.
Uh-huh.
And then if that goes great, then we're going to make a record.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Sounds like
basic plan.
I know someone at Gonerfest, and I can get you a slot. I'm not going to make any promises.
You wield a lot of power.
You are going to be playing at 1 p.m. on the Saturday at the, what's it, Murphy's?
Oh, yeah. Murphy's, yep.
Murphy's, because they do this thing. It's Goner. First of all, Gonerfest is this thing that happens in Memphis for Goner Records, puts it together, which is one of the label that kind of grew out of the scene you were a part of when it was like, because you had the store.
Yeah, it was my record store when it was Legba Records.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to North Carolina, I sold all the back stock and everything that I had in the store, and they took over the lease because I didn't own the building.
Sure. So that was Eric and Zach. Yeah.
And those guys have been, they have really, you know, all the momentum, all the props and everything go to them, because mm-hmm. when I was doing the record store, it was just a record store.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have now with the festival and the record label and the distribution that they have for so many smaller labels, you know how it was in the 80s and the 90s, you know, putting out a little record or something, trying to get somebody to distribute it and get it, you know, maybe like forced exposure. You had like a few little mm-hmm. outlets yeah. and places to go, but I think Goner has really, you know, brought a lot of people together.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have normally found each other.
It's really like the hub of a whole world now kind of comes out of Goner Records.
It's very true.
And but Goner Fest happens in September, and it's so much fun because all these bands come from all over the place. And then there's a show on Saturday afternoon where at this place, Murphy's, they have an indoor-outdoor stage. And then people just run from one to the other, where it's just like, one band's done playing, I'm going to run inside and see the other band. Yeah. And it's people are running back and forth.
Right. And Tom didn't mention, he said it's September, but it's Memphis, so it's still 120 degrees.
Yes. It's still so hot, and you're drenched in sweat, and you're 3 days in on this thing, and you're just like,
let it end.
Yeah, just like, do I like music anymore? There's that point where you're just like, I don't think I like music anymore. Like, I think I heard enough to last me 5 years.
Wonder what's going on in the world of curling.
Yeah. Well, that would be the greatest thing if you got the rock and curling thing going the way rock and wrestling in the 80s. Like,
that'd be huge. Yeah.
it'd just be like Greg Cartwright.
Rowdy Greg Cartwright.
The Raining South. Yeah. Playing the Rock and Curling Festival. Jam, that would be just like the pairing that no one asked for. Curling fans are just like, this is way too loud. And rock fans are like, why does that guy have a broom out there? And I'm trying to watch the band, and now I'm watching them from across this guy sweeping in front of a giant, looks like some sort of
a
like,
UFO.
Yeah, like a UFO or like one of those like mines that would be like those underwater mines is what that thing looks like. Now, hey, Mike, you're a fan of Greg, right? Yeah. And Mike likes, these are the bands Mike likes. Bruce Springsteen. Grateful Dead. Do you like the Grateful Dead at all? You can say
that. I just had a conversation about this with somebody recently, and no, I think when I was about 13, the first thing I ever shoplifted was a Grateful Dead cassette out of a mall store.
And yeah, smashing the ice cream cone on his head, that one?
No, it's the one with the, you know, like the skeleton head with the flower petals and stuff. It's like the greatest hits. And I was running with a bad crowd, Tom. You know, I would never do that kind of thing now. Yeah. But anyway.
I'm going to say this. If you were shoplifting Grateful Dead cassettes, that would be the weirdest thing ever. Just like, why is this adult? First of all, who's selling Grateful Dead cassettes? And you'd just be like, hey, can you open the case?
Yeah.
You look at the cassette and then.
To be fair, it was, they had it halfway out of the space. They were their $2 cassettes. Uh-huh. So practically, you know.
What album is that, Mike? Steal Your Face? Oh, nice language, Mike. You know we're doing a radio show here still, Mike, right? You understand we're not one of your filth. We're not in the parking lot of a Grateful Dead show where you just curse. Yeah, well, you could say skull blank, Mike. Yeah. Mike has to say the F word. Yeah.
All of that, and, you know, I got it home and did not enjoy it. And it just wasn't what I thought it was.
Yeah, you put it on.
I thought it was going to be something completely different.
But it sounds like, when you just get down to it, it sounds like if the Birds were playing five different songs at the same time and didn't know what the other guys were playing and didn't know when to stop, where they're just like, just keep playing until you think you're done playing this song. You guess when you think we're done. I don't get it. Mike tries it. I had people like, listen to this Oxamoxa alternate mix. It's like, there's that point where it's like, if it's going to be that hard where you have to find one alternate mix for me to go, okay, I kind of see how that reminds me of another thing I kind of like. It's like, no, it's not good if I have to go to an alternate mix of a...
Right.
So...
Right. Mike, did you see the other one, the documentary? Yeah, I think it was on Netflix or something.
That's the
Bob Weir one. Oh, yeah, I did see that. That was actually really good. The all the way through it, I kept waiting, towards the end when, you know, they're talking about his wife and everything, and they're kind of pretending that they weren't getting together until she was of legal age or something.
Yeah, I know. It's like, it was one of those whitewash documentaries where just like, it's like, yeah, he's just such a, I don't know, those ones where he's just always, where one person's gone and then the other guy's like, me and Jerry, we were so close. There, it's like, well, Jerry's not here now to talk.
Yeah, he can't tell us.
Yeah, but Grateful Dead are terrible. You know, Mike secretly knows it too. He kind of knows they're terrible, but he likes Bruce Springsteen. Are you a fan of Bruce Springsteen?
I have a couple favorites. Yeah.
Mike's favorite songs are what's Mike's favorite albums? He likes the one with Cowboy Pete on it, right? He likes the new stuff. He only likes the new Bruce Springsteen stuff. The
most recent.
Yeah, from 2008 onward is Mike's favorite. Isn't that the scary thing also about making stuff that just there's some point where somebody's going to just go, yeah, I don't like any of the stuff you do now. I like you a lot, but I'm not a fan of any of the stuff you're making that you've made.
Nothing you're currently making is any good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, and just like, I'm still here. I'm trying. Like when you think about Bob Dylan, that there's Bob Dylan fans who would be just be like, yeah, I kind of do wish he died on that motorcycle. That'd be pretty.
That's harsh.
You'd be like, yeah, that'd be the perfect cat. Cause then it'd be the perfect catalog.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, he died and then Blonde on Blonde was the final thing. And like, it's creepy.
Yeah.
But they would wish that. That's creepy Bob Dylan fans, Mike. You guys are weird. One of you is weirder than the next.
What was that weird, the Dylan thing that came out this year that was all the live shows? And it's the same set every night. It's like a box set. Yeah. And it's just the same concert over and over and over again.
Like, was it like 65 and 66 or something? Yeah. So it's all the shows he did and he didn't do anything different at any of them. Same set list.
I was talking with my buddy Whitney and we were saying, well, why make it a box set? And cause nobody's going to listen to it, that whole thing. I mean, that kills the joy of a box set. You can't just sit there and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Make it a subscription service or something. Like give me one every 2 months and I'll listen to it. Maybe.
Yeah. But just suddenly this giant brick gets the cinder block gets dropped. With all this Bob Dylan stuff in it. Mike, who's good here? Cause I have a topic tonight. Did you ever see the movie John Wick, Greg?
When's that from?
When's it? It's from like 4 years ago. I'm telling you this. First of all, this movie stars Keanu Reeves. You take everything about a movie that has violence in it. And you boil it down, and this is it, this is the purest version of it.
The essence.
The essence. Basically, the movie starts. John Wick is a guy. He was like a hitman type mob, whatever. Like he was like a gunslinger. But it's in present day. So he's done with it though. He's done. He's got his wife. He's out of the biz. His wife gets sick and dies. Then he opens the door the next day and there's a delivery. It's a little puppy and with a note from his wife saying like, I know I'm gone, but here's a dog you can give love to. And, then these hoodlums, he runs into these hoodlums at a gas station parking lot and they're just like, how much for your car? Cause he's driving like a Camaro or something. And they're like, he's like, the car's not for sale. And then they follow him and then they like clonk him over the head with a pipe and then, steal his car and kill his dog. So then he wakes up, goes into his basement, tears the floor up, the cement floor, all the guns are under there. And then he just comes back and for the rest of the movie, he hunts down everybody who killed that dog. It's the greatest. It's the purest thing you've ever seen in terms of revenge. And there's a point where somebody's just like, it was just a dog in a car. And he's just like, like he's shooting everybody. And now there's a sequel coming out on Friday. And I'm turned it like, I've seen John. I have not seen the movie Lawrence of Arabia. I have not seen in my life. I've seen John Wick probably 5 times. We all have our things.
It's your roadhouse.
It might be my roadhouse. This might be my roadhouse. Like, I showed John Wick to Terry, my wife, and she was just like, this might be the most violent movie I've ever seen. She's just like, she said, is he going to just keep killing people through it? And I'm just like, of course he is. Like, he can't stop now. Like, he's not going to hit pause on this.
He's got nothing to live for, Terry.
He's killing everybody. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Best. Much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeyer, and... you, the best show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. and support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.